Well, hello there. Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, EE Journal's long-standing electronic engineering podcast, hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Folks, I have Einstein here today, but maybe not the one you're thinking of, because he died a long time ago, and EE Journal just doesn't have the overhead for any of that holographic business. No, I've got Andrew Boucher, VP of Strategy and Partnerships at Einstein, with an AI instead of EI, here today to talk about the future of millimeter wave radar technology and the super cool stuff under the hood of their new over-the-door sensor called Wave Air, including real-time decision-making and signal processing. But before we welcome Andrew to the show, it's time for a little news you may have missed. Are you lonesome tonight? Edition. So maybe you're not exactly like Elvis with a melodic ability to express your loneliness, but maybe it's in your voice without you even knowing it. If you're like me, everyone can tell what kind of mood you're in. I don't hide that stuff very well. But if you're not like heart on your sleeve, Amelia, maybe an algorithm can identify loneliness in your voice. So get this. In a recent research study by a team at the University of California, San Diego School of Medicine, it was discovered that artificial intelligence can be used to determine loneliness in older adults. So at the heart of this Lonely Hearts Club research is what is called Natural Language Patterns, or NLP, which is an unbiased quantitative assessment of expressed emotion and sentiment. Okay, so this is how this research study worked. This team at the San Diego School of Medicine interviewed 80 older adults and then evaluated these subjects using both conventional loneliness assessments and then a longer, more conversational study that lasted up to an hour and a half. So it was that second conversation where artificial intelligence came into play. These longer interviews were transcribed and then analyzed using a natural language system developed by IBM. So early findings from this research are pretty amazing. Not only did the team identify a lonely speech pattern that could be used to detect loneliness in older adults, but also found that the machine learning models used in this research could predict qualitative loneliness with 94% accuracy. There were also some other interesting aspects of this study. These researchers also found that the subjects that were feeling lonely tended to have longer responses in their interviews. They also expressed more sadness to direct questions about loneliness, and that women were more likely than men to admit feeling lonely during their interviews. But they also found that men used more fearful and joyful words in their responses compared to women. Interesting. This team of researchers contends that this study does demonstrate the feasibility of using natural language pattern analysis of transcribed speech to better parse and understand complex emotions like loneliness. Co-author of this study, Dilip Jest, MD, put this research in perspective like this. He said, "Our IBM UC San Diego Center is now exploring NLP signatures of loneliness and wisdom, which are inversely linked in older adults. Speech data can be combined with our other assessments of cognition, mobility, sleep, physical activity, and mental health to improve our understanding of aging and to help promote successful aging." So maybe this study isn't a cure for loneliness, but maybe it's a start to help those of us who can't express themselves as readily or as easily. And loneliness isn't the end for this kind of research. There have been several studies lately that show that by studying the patterns of our language with the help of AI, we can better understand conditions like psychosis, PTSD, bipolar disorder, and depression. Wow. So if you want even more information about this study, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's fish frying page on eejournal.com. All right, everybody, it's time to bring in Andrew Boucher from Einstein. Let's go. Hi, Andrew. Thank you so much for joining me.
How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much. Okay, so first off, for my audience who may not know, what is Einstein all about? Now, not the person, correct?
A little bit different. We go with AI instead of EI over here for artificial intelligence. So at a highest level, we're about improving the safety for a number of applications across a number of different industries. And so that can look like improving safety for driving. It can be improving safety when we think about social distancing and health in a number of different areas. And we do this through developing sensing technology, primarily based around millimeter wave radar technology.
Andrew, you guys have developed a new over-the-door sensor called Wavy Air. So tell me more about this new over-the-door sensor. What's under the hood? And I read that it has real-time decision-making and signal processing. So tell me more about that as well.
Yeah, sure. So we have a new product line called Wave. Within that product line, we have three different offerings. And these are really IoT solutions, so Internet of Things. These are internet-connected sensing devices. The Wave Air device specifically that you mentioned is for use in a number of different indoor applications. We use it overhead, but we also use it over the door of a, let's say, a conference room or a building or even a restroom. And this helps us to understand what sort of activity is happening within a space. If you think about radar and why it's really exciting right now, it's because you get a lot of data around what people are doing, where they're spending their time, how close they are together, how traffic moves within a smart city. These are examples of use cases, but what makes it nice is that it doesn't provide any personally identifiable information. So you can use radar in scenarios where you may consider a camera to do monitoring, but you wouldn't be able to use a camera, for example, in a restroom, in a bedroom, if we're doing elderly monitoring of patients that still live at home, nursing facilities, and these sorts of environments. So radar has just gotten to the point of maturity over the last year or two where we can start to deploy this at scale, at a low cost per unit, with the technology that provides enough data for it to be useful to our client base. And so that data generally is someone in the room? That's probably the most basic functionality of the Wave Air module. But we can get into where are people spending their time in the room. So we can present a heat map to building managers, enterprises, hoteliers, restaurants, et cetera, so that they can adopt their environment based upon actual consumer behavior. But we don't have to invade anyone's privacy. So we can say, hey, we know there's three or four people in a room. We know where they're spending their time. I can't tell you if they're male or female. And that's not really important. What we want to understand is what's the behavior that's going on in that space. And so you can see why this would be really appealing for a number of different companies when we think about things like social distancing and crowd density management, reducing friction points within commercial spaces. And this expands into the street. And so we can use sensing at the stoplights to view traffic, to help improve traffic patterns, reduce accidents, improve traffic flow. And it really goes on for the capabilities can be leveraged around radar. So we're really excited about Wave Air because it's going to be the first 60 gigahertz millimeter wave radar product that will be certified by the FCC if we continue on the pace we're at. And it's one of the more popular sensing solutions that are being adopted right now because of the privacy that it does still provide, even though we're collecting all this data on user behavior.
Can you tell me what kind of applications you see Wave Air being used in? I know you talked a little bit about that, but where will it go in the future?
Sure. So Wave Air in our Wave line is really a fixed mounted sensor that's looking for movement. And so in the future, it will be anywhere where we're looking for movement. And so the first use cases we see would be for occupancy detection within a space. So are people in the space or not? And this can help to do things like control lighting, control HVAC, helped with space utilization management. So one use case would be a corporation would have a number of conference rooms within their facility, and each week you have conference rooms that are reserved and everyone's fighting over these. Well, if we can use this data to determine how the conference rooms are actually being used, we can start to build conference rooms differently. Do we need more large conference rooms? Do we need smaller conference rooms? Are we not using the conference rooms that are reserved? But we can also provide real-time alerts to people. So if we need that space we know as soon as it's available, because we can use the data that's being provided by the sensor to provide real-time alerts. When we think about the future, though, this is going to be applied to maintenance applications. So how often should we be cleaning a space, a restroom, based upon actual usage, rather than, hey, it's Andrew's time to clean the restroom because I'm here at 8 a.m. this morning and that's my job. I should know which restrooms should be cleaned, which parts of those restrooms should we be applying cleaning solutions to versus, you know, maybe the area of the restroom that hasn't been used. But this expands outside of the building as well. And so we want to understand pedestrian traffic on the sidewalk, traffic flow, and those types of use cases as well.
Fantastic. Now, can you tell me a little bit about the evolution of the concept here? How exactly did the Wave Air come about?
That's a great question. So we've been in business for about 5 years. We actually started by developing sensing technology for autonomous drones. So how do we enable a drone in the sky to avoid power lines and trees while it's flying? And so we've developed advanced sensing technology to do that sort of sensing at a high rate of speed. What we recognize is it can be applied to a number of different applications. As we have more throughput via the internet, more bandwidth, we have the ability to leverage sensors in more areas. And so a couple of years ago, we were invited or actually asked by Texas Instruments to help work with them to enable their customers to test out their new 60 gigahertz millimeter wave radar integrated chipset. In order to do that, there's an evaluation module that a customer must have in order to be able to test that. Einstein was involved in developing that module in collaboration with Texas Instruments at that time. And so that's a product that they sell directly to the consumer and to the business currently. What we've done is we've taken that initial concept that we showcased at the CES show back in 2019, and over the last year and a half or so have continued to mature that idea to a commercialized product. And so at this point, you know, we are selling our Wave Air sensor. We're manufacturing it in volume. And we're just about ready to secure the FCC certification on that module. And so this will be very new technology to the industry. You won't see a lot of 60 gigahertz sensors, millimeter wave radar sensors on the market yet. But I do believe that this is a technology that's about ready to really, really explode.
So let's switch gears a little bit. Now, I noticed a really cool part of your site called the Workbench. Tell my audience more about that.
That's actually a very new part of our website. And the reason that we put that there is because when we think about radar sensing technology, you think about submarines and weather radars. And that's how radar used to be thought of. But we're bringing this into the commercial space where we need to really have a number of different applications that can leverage radar because of the great data that you can get from radar. So our workbench is really an area for us to showcase some of our foundational technology that may not be fully matured for a couple reasons. It may not be fully matured because it's expensive to get it completely to commercialization, and there's really not a purpose to do that unless there's opportunity for that to be saleable in the market. As an early stage company, you have to focus on your immediate opportunities. And so what we do is we develop some foundational technology. We want to showcase it to others, but we don't want them to have expectations that are unrealistic about the maturity of the technology. But we want them to know what the possibilities are. So the workbench area is for us to say, hey, we've got some ideas here. If you have an application or a system that you think could leverage this, let's talk. Let's brainstorm a little bit about how we can take this technology and apply it to XYZ application. And so that's where our workbench is. It's like, how do we showcase some of our sort of secret work that's, you know, and make it a little bit less secret so that we can enable our partners rather than having them searching around for technologies that, you know, they may have a hard time finding. Let's just tell people what we're doing, and maybe that will lead to some more partnership and advanced technology development for the marketplace.
That's super cool. Okay, Andrew, look in your crystal ball. Where is Einstein headed in the future?
That's a great question. So I think Einstein's still going to remain focused on developing advanced radar-based technologies. The radar is just a tremendous sensor for a number of different applications. It will be the leading sensor for autonomous driving, and this carries over to specialty vehicles, construction, shuttles, robotics, etc. And the reason it's going to be the leading technology, the leading sensing technology for autonomous driving, is because it works in all weather conditions. This is a shortcoming of other sensors. And so we're pretty excited about that, but getting into automotive or autonomous vehicles is a very long process, and a lot of testing has to be done. So we're taking steps. We've recently announced a joint development partnership with Bobcat Company. It's one example of how we're helping to enable a company like Bobcat to make their equipment autonomous. And so radar can see through things like rain and snow and dust. You can see in all lighting conditions. And these are not things that you can say about other sensing technology. And then they have the range to be able to see out far enough so that you have enough time for the car to react. So we look at radar really as eyes for a number of things. And so automotive and specialty vehicle is a core business for Einstein. And then the IoT space, anything that's internet connected, where you have a need for a sensor that's on a pole or within a building or on the ceiling that you want to feed to a larger system to do data analytics and insights and space planning. These are the types of applications that we'll focus on there as well. And this includes smart city applications, ITS, which is intelligent traffic systems and traffic management. So those would be our areas of focus, but we also have big representation within the aerospace industry. And so as the aerospace industry matures around autonomous deliveries of packages and those sorts of things, our sensing technology in that space will continue to grow as well. And we do believe we're already a leader in that space, but it does have some time before I think it'll be universally accepted as a technology. I mean, we don't see a lot of drones outside of our windows right now. We have enabling technology to allow for that when the time is right.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to wait a little longer for everyone to get on board with that.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, Andrew, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, since you haven't been on my show before, I'm going to throw you my COVID-friendly off the cuff.
All right,
so
all right.
with a lot of restaurants being shut down and travel being a no-go these days, if you could have one dish right now, one meal, say, from anywhere in the world, restaurants open or closed in another country, it doesn't matter, what would you have right now?
I don't have to think too much about this question, actually. I would choose Mongolian barbecue. Specifically, BD's Mongolian barbecue.
Awesome.
Steak, jalapenos, pineapple, sesame seeds, cook it up.
Nice. I love that. That is the first Mongolian barbecue answer I've had for that question that's been going on for I don't know how long now. Excellent. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Andrew.
Yeah, I really appreciate your time today, Amelia.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EE Journal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EE Journal TFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out Amelia D. 1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I get it. You can follow me or us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, or heck, you just want to chat, I promise I will respond. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of October 9th, 2020, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.